KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Back in the golden age of radio, there was a little known and short-lived network called Tesla Broadcasting Company, or TBC, founded in New York in 1943 and acquired by CBS just 2 years later. The TBC became a mere footnote in the history of American radio. That is, until March 10th, 2013, when a Portland resident by the name of Brendan Jones, no relation, received a surprise package in the mail. The package contained a rare treasure, transcripts of the long-lost scripts from TBC's archive. Brendan felt he had an obligation to bring these scripts back to life to honor not only the Tesla Broadcasting Company, but the golden age of radio itself. So along with his partner, Jerry Chrisman, he founded Tesla City Stories. Tesla City Stories is a radio theater troupe who performed these scripts live on stage, just as it was done 80 years ago, complete with music and sound effects, and they've been doing it now for 10 years. They'll be opening their historic 10th season this Friday, April 5th, at the Old Church Concert Hall in downtown Portland. We're fortunate to have Brendan and Jerry here with us in the KBOO studios to tell us more. Brendan and Jerry, welcome back to KBOO, and congratulations on number 10.
Oh, thanks, man. It's great to be here.
Yep. If I can address this, two things right off the top. One is, you've done all of our work for us. Thank you. We'll just leave.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
The second thing is, you're wrong because the 23andMe results came back and we are related. What?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Cousin. Yes.
Well, we thought, because your last name's very rare.
Very rare.
Yes.
You meet one Jones, you've met them all. No,
apparently so. I think we're all related.
I that was such a really great summation, and we really appreciate it. We really appreciate just having, you know, a great supportive local audience that comes back to us and shares our love of old radio and the TBC. But also, you know, supporters like yourself, you're born and bred into the radio world, and it's hardly a show that we do that we don't see you in the audience, and it means a lot to us. So thank you, Ken.
Yeah, it used to be such an important means of communication, communication in the U.S., taken over by TV, movies, and now the digital era of podcasts. People are on TikTok rather than listening to radio. But I think the medium lives on in podcasts, and we'll talk about yours a little later. But Brendan, the origin of Tesla City Story seems like it came out of an old-time radio mystery. An unexpected letter leading to a long-lost trove of original scripts going back to the latter years of World War II. You know, you could have donated them to a museum, maybe the Smithsonian, and be done with it, but you and Jerry decided to form a radio theater troupe and perform them yourselves.
Whether or not that was a smart idea, though I will say 10 years on, I don't think Jerry and I have any regrets about it, but it does sound even more that truncated. I wish the story really were that truncated, but I like your version. It was an extended bit of detective work, and then me giving up, and then a fortuitous come around, and then suddenly I've got this huge box of scripts, which blew my mind, still does. But it was something I thought about immediately, just sharing. Like, the immediate idea was, let's just put these out there. Because who's going to care? A bunch of other nerds like myself. And so I thought about just scanning them in, posting them online so people could read them, those who were curious. Jerry was the one who was like, well, we've done theater in the past. What if we actually turn it into a show instead of doing that? And his idea also meant we might get a little bit of money. So
focus on little.
Yes. Let's underscore a little bit. But it was a thing that that was not an immediate obvious idea because, like you said, very obscure art form now. It wasn't back then, but to take it on stage and try to recreate what they did in the 40s, we've been doing it now for 10 years, and audiences support it, which is very gratifying.
I think when we started, we knew what the shape of the show would be, but as far as where it would go or how it would grow, we didn't even think about that in the early days.
No.
We did it just to have fun and to revive these scripts and get them out there, and people kept coming, and kept growing, and it's steadily grown. So we're internally grateful that we averaged maybe 25, 40 people in our first shows, and we're looking at close to 300 on Friday night.
Yeah, we've been to three venues, and it's not that we kept outgrowing them. Unfortunately, a couple of
we kept accidentally catching them on fire. No, I'm kidding. No, we didn't do that.
No, your first show, so your first venue was the Funhouse Lounge.
Yeah.
And the first show was almost a year ago to the day, April 6, 2014.
Yeah.
You both must have been filled with excitement and maybe a little anxiety.
Very much so.
But obviously the first performance went pretty well, and you found a niche in the Portland entertainment scene.
I will say that, like with anything that's trying to be a recurring show, then that includes bands. It almost always begins with that small crowd that are friends and family or coworkers. And we were happy to have our 30 friends or whatever at Funhouse Lounge. The fact that it started to grow beyond the people we actually knew, and that word of mouth, because we, you know, other than showing up here occasionally and talking to you, Ken, we don't have a huge promotions network either. It has just been word of mouth, and that has continued to build. And we are, like I said, we're selling out. We're filling up the old church concert hall, and
which is a pretty big venue.
It's great. Yeah,
it is. You know what I miss? I remember in our first shows,
the nachos.
I'm missing the nachos right now. No, remember we had these two wonderful ladies that would come to the show
and
they would sit in the front row and knit the entire time, yeah. Listen to our show. And we had another, I think,
just like in the golden age,
yes,
like in a living room,
probably the same two women.
And if you're out there listening, we'd love to have you back. We'll buy you knitting needles, I promise.
One thing we won't do is spoil how the war turned out.
A cliffhanger. Now, those scripts sent to Brendan cover a wide range of shows popular at the time. So there's sitcoms, soaps, mysteries, yeah, thrillers, westerns, sci-fi. So you really have quite a bit to choose from for the 10th anniversary year. What will you be performing at this season opener on Friday?
Well, weirdly, this wasn't the way I planned it, because we kind of have a rotating how we slot in the most popular shows that I have the most scripts for, we do on a rotating basis. And then the third month is usually the one-off of a show that we don't have a lot of. And that just happened to be our April show. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's our 10th anniversary show. And we're not doing one of our most popular shows. However, it does fit thematically. It ended up being their sci-fi anthology that the TBC did. It was called Other Worlds. Mm. And it would have short serials of like two episodes, or it had the only ones we'd done before. We did two episodes of Questor of the Cosmos, which was their very Flash Gordon-y kind of thing. And we had literally the last two chapters of a 20-chapter serial. And those are the only Other Worlds episodes we've done previously. This one is the Pangea Paradox, and it's a two-episode time travel episode. Mm. So,
and you go back 145 million years?
Yeah, yes.
So that's like pre-Raquel Welch days.
Absolutely. There are no fur bikinis anywhere in it.
Sorry, audience.
Somehow, people are still coming. The idea of it being, it's modern people from the 40s going back to prehistoric times was too good to pass up, because their ideas of what dinosaur times were right, like, is way off. And then it gets even more complicated when there are visitors from the future. Spoiler! So it bounces around, and it's still dealing with the Tesla City area, because they don't move in space. They only move in time. So it's still a Tesla City story. It's just from 140 million years before there's a Tesla City.
Now Jerry, Tesla City fans can expect a few old favorites, including Viola Harper, which is not this week, but will be later in the season. And a few new additions for season 10. I want to talk first about the new additions, starting with the introduction of live captioning.
Yes. One of the things is we had some people who were having trouble hearing. And so one of our cast members said, we should do captioning. And it never occurred to me. So I looked into it, and I actually developed the system myself.
Brag.
And we're gonna try it out at the show. But hopefully that'll be, we'll extend it to, you know, make more accessible to some folks. And we've gotten already some emails about it. People are really excited about it. So we're looking forward to giving that a try.
I will say that Jerry's breakthrough is literally him standing there with cards like Bob Dylan, and he's just showing the cards and dropping them.
Subterranean homesick blues.
Yeah, exactly. It's, right. It's not that high tech.
Well, that's actually, worth the price of admission right there.
I just whisper. I take the dialogue and I repeat it.
It's a huge stack of poster board.
Actually, it is 998 separate slides of dialogue, if you can believe that.
And you'll also have a Viola Harper drink special, the return of the photo booth, so people can take free photos there. And there's something new that I don't know anything about yet, new short segments between programs. You call it the interstitial segments.
The interstitials, because we've had some standing ones, and we have developed a few more. So we're going to start rotating in some newer segments.
Usually audience participatory.
Audience participation.
It's fun to get them up there. And it's usually also to focus on something that deserves focus, which is the Foley sound effect art. Mm-hmm. And even if we're having fun with it with the audience, it's great to be able to say, look, this was a vital part of live radio broadcasting back then, and it is a very obscure art form, but we were lucky to have David Ian from Unchained Productions as our Foley artist, and so we'll be focusing on that, but we're just changing up what the audience will get to do, and they'll be, hopefully they'll have a lot of fun with it.
I think in the future, like, we're going to perhaps give audience members a chance to do scenes with us, act on stage,
wow.
And also ask questions of characters live.
That will go horribly wrong. I'm just letting you know in advance.
And a lot of the old favorites, too, where you mentioned David, Ian, and Dino doing live Foley, again, just like they did it back in the golden age of radio, where they would have shoes walking across. They'd have a cute little mini door opening and closing, things like that.
I can't wait to do the, because there's a campfire in this one on Friday night, and that's one of my favorites that they do, because it's just like a bag of Doritos, but it sounds like a campfire.
It does. And that's also in the past how we burned the theaters down.
No,
so we're going to be real careful this time. No, there'll be no fire.
That
no
is
fire.
The third time you've mentioned burning the theater down.
Well, what can I say? I'm on fire. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no. And there'll be live music. Food and drink is available on site. Prizes. There's usually door prizes.
Yes.
And as always, a genuine cigarette girl selling non-genuine cigarettes.
Yeah, that's right.
Tobacco-less.
We got in trouble initially early in our run because we actually did sell cigarettes. And someone said, do you have a license from OLCC? And statute of limitations is up, so now I can admit this. So we can't sell real cigarettes anymore.
No.
Shouldn't smoke anyway. So.
Now, it may no longer be the golden age of radio, but it's definitely the golden age of podcasts, and Tesla City is no exception. You guys have a podcast.
We do. It is, there's a full season plus of the Tesla City Stories available as a podcast, though we are still learning how to churn it out on a very regulated basis. But if you are unable to come see our live shows here in Portland, anyone, including my folks who live far, far away, can listen to it on the web. TeslaCityStories.com is our website, and that'll take you to our podcast as well. So you'll get to hear Viola Harper and The Wraith and all those folks with our amazing cast.
And one last question. Jerry, you told me that Friday's show is already close to capacity, and you'll be performing before the largest crowd in your 10-year history.
That's correct.
But I think there's still a few tickets left. Where can we find out more about Tesla City, buy tickets in advance for the season opener?
Just go to TeslaTix.com, TeslaTix.com. It'll tell you all about it. There's about 8 tickets left last time I checked.
Well, Brendan and Jerry, many thanks for talking
with
us today. Wishing you and Tesla City at least another 10 years.
Thank you, Ken.
If the scripts hold out.
If that box of scripts is still...
people can't write like that anymore.
No, they can't.
It's really rare.
This is great. Thank you for having us.
We've been talking with Brendan Jones and Jerry Christman, co-founders of the radio... Cousin Brendan Jones and Jerry Christman, co-founders of the radio theater troupe Tesla City Stories. Tesla City's historic 10th season launches this Friday, April 5th at the Old Church Concert Hall, located at 1422 Southwest 11th in Portland. You can find out more and purchase tickets in advance online at TeslaCityStories.com or TeslaTix.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOOS News In Depth.